Good morning. Carol, first I want to say I am one of those converts who was a diabetic and was able to reverse it. And as far as I was concerned, told my God, I cried the day he told me basically that I was cured, because it is a horrible disease to have and affects so much of who you are and what you do. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. So good morning. My name is Charlotte Parent. I'm the Director of Health for the City of New Orleans Health Department, and I'm going to speak to you today about some of the things that we're doing in the Health Department that we think will work towards the issue of social justice and health equity. I have no relationships to disclose. And some of the things we're going to look at is social justice as the base for public health, social justice and public health in New Orleans through three of our areas that we work in, health access, violence prevention, and emergency preparedness. And then finally to talk a little bit about our future directions for social justice and health equity. So the New Orleans Health Department has a vision and a mission to promote, protect, and improve the health of all where we live, learn, work, and play. We've used the public health accreditation process to be our roadmap and how we would change how we look and transform, and have lived this for 3 years now and continue to move forward with the work that we do. And I'm just showing you all this. I don't know if everyone or if anyone has seen this through Nature. There was a publication that was put out a little less than a month ago. Two very small, easily readable books and essays about social justice as the base for public health. And about the time that I received the invitation to speak, those books came out, and was on a plane, read them, and for me was just an easy way to understand how public health fits into that, and these two things so align and are basis for each other and what we do. And one thing I want to just kind of read from one of the essays that's in the book is that they say public health and social justice both derive from society's obligation to the common good, as well as the recognition that health is the cornerstone of a functional society. And when you read that and you think about where we are in the United States and where other countries are and where they fit with social justice and where we don't, you can see that the correlation is definitely there. I would recommend this to anyone who is trying to figure out where they are with social justice and how you make that fit into your department. One of those manuals is actually some examples from various health departments across the country and how they did this. So as everyone knows our story here in New Orleans, that we had the opportunity to rise out of a tragedy and figure out what we wanted to look like going forward. And from this opportunity, especially for healthcare access first, we were a group that had all of our medical care being provided, and if some of you are from New Orleans or know history of New Orleans or went to medical school here, this is Big Charity, where most of our safety net citizens would receive care. And what the storm did for us was, one, it basically closed Charity down, and some people were up in arms about that, but what came out of that was the ability to create in the neighborhoods and in communities primary care centers where you could put the good work that needed to happen in places where people were, instead of having this big monument to this good care, but disorganized care, not always of the best quality that you needed to make people make a change in their neighborhoods. So what's happened for us now is that we now have a network of primary health care centers that are located in the various neighborhoods within the city. And right now, 8 of them are FQHCs with 17 sites. So what we have been able to do is create quality, create the mechanism for patients to receive that care. And what it also did for the health department was we provided some of those primary care services out of the health department, it allowed us to be able to not have to do that anymore and let those FQHCs and those providers provide that same quality and consistent care that needed to be provided. The only primary care that we have held on into the health department is our health care for the homeless program. And the reason we did that was because we weren't very comfortable yet that in terms of not only the primary care, but the social pieces that needed to go with it, that we had a good system within the city to do that. So that was the only one that we held on to. But these primary care centers have become the base and the root for what we do in terms of medical care in the city. The other issue for us was, of course, with Hurricane Katrina, access to hospital services was also something that changed. And in particular in New Orleans East, all services pretty much went away for a period of time, including the hospital that was out there. So the city, with a lot of partners and, as we like to say, two nickels and some friends, rebuilt a hospital out in New Orleans East to provide that care for citizens in that part of the city that just didn't have any anymore. In addition to that hospital, one of those federally qualified health centers built onto the campus, so that that's there. And we also put some of our social service programs in and around there so that when a person goes to this campus now, they have access to a variety of items in one place and within the community. So the next area for us that's of issue, of course, is violence prevention. And we just show you this to see that this is not a new problem in New Orleans and probably not a new problem in most urban cities. We have had a murder rate that has been 7 to 8 times the national average for a period of 30 years. Some of it would, you know, wax and wane depending on programs that came in. Most programs, of course, were focused on police and what do you do to get police in those areas and neighborhood policing and all those things that, you know, deal with the acute problem. What happened for us after Katrina and when Mayor Mitch Landrieu came in was a change over to looking at violence through a different lens, and not just looking at it through the issue of stopping shootings, but to begin to look at this through 5 different areas. One, of course, was to stop the shootings. That is an acute problem that needs to happen, and, you know, for us, we are cautiously and happy to report that that has dropped for us. But we also know that without these other pieces that come into place, it's just temporary. You know, this is something like diabetes that you never stop working on. It's going to be continuous. But for the health department in particular was to invest in prevention. And this was one of the first times that there was a plan put in place that specifically looked to the health department and to public health to deal with violence as a public health issue within the city. And so a lot of the programs that we have done within the health department are to look at how can we provide technical assistance in schools for trauma informed care. How do we go out when there is a shooting that occurs and we work with the neighborhoods to the people that gather during a shooting and around to find out what's going on, and created actually an app for telephones for case managers who are out there to be able to talk to the people at the site and find out what their needs are, pull the app up and give them real-time resources to where things are available for them in their area so that they can have automatic access instead of waiting a few days till someone contacts you, that sort of thing. Also, we are one of the National Forum on Youth Violence Prevention. We are one of the cities that has this in place here. And the last thing that we just initiated or just introduced this week was a domestic violence coordination policy. Place. And it's taken 3 years to get this policy written, but basically what it does is it looks from the 911 system all the way through jail and through district attorney's offices as to what is the policy to put it from the lens of the victim instead of from the perpetrator. And how do we make it work for the victim that their needs are met, but that we take them through a system that is empathetic to what's going on, but also moves, right, so that it's not delayed and we put the protections for them. So we just launched this, and we'll spend the next year looking at how this program works for us in the city of New Orleans. Finally, for us, public health preparedness, and in our mind, you know, for us, this is about emergency preparedness. A lot of the work that we did, and as everyone was able to see during Katrina, people thought we were prepared, you know, as people tend to think you are prepared until it actually happens. You practice the what-ifs, and then the reality really hits, and you have to see what that looks like. But what we've been able to do over the last 9.5 years is really look at our neighborhoods and look at our citizens and look at what happened during Katrina and figure out ways that we could help and ensure that they were ready. And not only ready from the city's point of view of how we were going to help them to be able to evacuate and those sort of things, but that their mind frame now is set around, how am I prepared? What do I need to have in place? How do I make sure I take care of my family if I have to evacuate? So part of this has been that we have created a citywide registry for people who are special needs, primarily around transportation, but the next step for us was on medical equipment, and durable medical equipment, and electrical equipment. And we partnered with the Department of Health and Hospitals, with the ASPR office, and did a pilot to see whether or not we could identify those people and understand where they lived and what was going on. So mapping, big piece of what we've done. And one of the things when I got to the health department I found was a manual map that people had made in the past of where people lived and what was going on. But now, you know, of course, with all of the software and things we have, we're able to electronically do this. And this is a map that identifies for us people who are on special needs registry who are electrically dependent. Okay, so if we have an outage in different areas now, not only with the hurricane, we can identify who those people are, and what the health department will do is make calls to them to find out whether or not they're okay with their equipment, do we need to do something to assist them to get there, or also let the electric company know that this is an area where we have a great number of electrically dependent citizens and we need you to work to get that done quicker. So it's allowed us to be more proactive instead of reactive to what happens. So future directions for the health department includes a lot of zonal initiatives for us, really getting down to the neighborhoods and understanding what's going on in those neighborhoods and how we can best affect what's happening and how the community can help us to do that. So one is a best baby zone, which basically identifies in a neighborhood of high infant mortality, what are the assets that are there that can be pulled together to work in tandem to make sure you have health care, but also access to jobs, education, and those pieces and parts that we know make up the big picture. And the other thing that we're working on are health in all policies activities. So we've taken on neighborhoods where there are fresh food initiatives and put those things together to see how health can impact what's going on. And finally, as we move through our community health assessment, and we did one 3 years ago when we began our accreditation process, and now we're in our second iteration of looking at that, what our partners are telling us, and which is a wonderful thing because it shows how we've all matured, we're beyond the issue of just trying to figure out how to get health care and how to get this and how to get that. We are really at the point where we want to look at what are those social determinants and how can we start linking all the things that are going on in the city to make a difference in terms of that big picture and not just health care. Thank you so much.
Thank you.